Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 213 of the Virtual Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Eric Walquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
I am Jesse. Happy birthday, Carly Wilson.
There you go. Happy birthday, Carly Wilson. Your sister.
My sister turned 31 today.
Oh, man. 31.
Pretty sure.
31. You don't know how much older your sister is from you?
I'm pretty confident she's 3 years older.
I guess this is a weird thing for me because my sister's birthday is the day after mine, so she's always been like exactly 4 years older than me.
I'm like 2 1/4.
I guess technically 3 years, 364 days older than me.
Right.
So it's weird because like with my wife, her birthday is kind of like on the other side of the year from mine, so I have a hard time keeping track of how old she is because it's like. Are you 2 years younger than me or 1 year younger than me? I don't really understand it. So
yeah, it's stuff with the change.
It is. It's the changes.
The month change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, happy birthday to Carly. I hope she caught a cool lizard or something.
Probably.
She seems to really enjoy it when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And how was your week, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good.
I got some food talk to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I've been drinking a lot of the seltzer water lately.
What is that?
It's like, you can get it in a can at Safeway, right? And the mm-hmm. brand is Refreshe.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this lime seltzer. And it hits the spot when I want a carbonated beverage, but it's got like no sodium, no sugar, no alcohol.
I thought that seltzer water had a little salt in it or something.
I'm looking at the can and it says zero sodium.
Oh.
So unless they snuck it in somewhere else, it's just...
Just the chloride.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's got chlorine gas, but mm-hmm. besides that, it's good.
Delicious.
But I don't know. It's been a welcome change, but it makes me burp a lot.
Yeah.
Because cool. It's like super carbonated.
Well, that'd be good for the listener.
Yeah.
I
accidentally snuck one of those into Gotham Blotter.
Yeah, I had I went to Colorado last weekend. And we stayed
right. I forgot you're there and back again. Hobbit's Tale.
Oh man, it was so fast. I flew into Denver, and then the wedding was up at this place called Steamboat Springs, which is a 3.5 hour drive from Denver.
Ooh.
So you fly into Denver, you drive for 3.5 hours, then the next day you go to the wedding, and then the next day you drive 3.5 hours and you fly home.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a whirlwind.
At least he had 7 hours of car drive to contemplate the weird neo-nationalistic murals that are all over the Denver International Airport.
Yeah, exactly. The New World Order headquarters of the Denver International Airport. No, it was actually great because the drive was beautiful, man. It's like it's like you're driving through like the Rocky Mountains and beautiful aspens turning orange. And it was a wonderful drive. It was just a long drive.
Right.
And I downloaded all this country music, so I was listening to that. And not like country music like Kenny Chesney. I'm talking like real country western music from like the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was rocking going through the mountains there. Saw some
bison.
Speaking
of good old country boys, I saw my cousin who lives in Idaho. He came over and he was at my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
Because he dropped off this thing. He's invented this thing that's like a fire ring made out of steel, but it like folds down so it's all compact. And it's got like this crossbar.
Yep.
And you can like, you attach like, or it comes with like these rotating grills that you can raise and lower.
Ooh.
So it's like a cook fire thing. It's pretty slick.
Pretty slick.
But he's got himself he lived in, Oklahoma for a while, so he's got himself a little southern accent going on. I hadn't seen him in like 10 years, so.
It's so weird, the Oklahoma / Texas accent, because it's not really southern, it's like its own deal.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a drawl for sure.
It was drawly. So, I liked it. It suited him though.
So we're staying in this nice place in Colorado, and the room that we had, it was like a condo type of deal. The room that we had had a hot tub on the deck.
Nice.
So we were out there, and we were all enjoying the hot tub, and then like the warning light went off, and it was like, you cannot be in this hot tub right now. It literally said, get out of the hot tub.
That's awesome.
And it was smelling really strongly of chlorine, so we all thought we had chlorine poisoning. This is just a callback to earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. You know, for those who want to check, it's around minute 3.5. We were talking about chlorine. So,
I don't recall.
Yeah. It's just a callback. That's all it is. So, Jesse, Kickstarter update.
Right. Yeah. I got a ton of new donations today, which I'm chalking up to the Gotham podcast, the Gotham Blotter. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. But all of a sudden, I got this new surge of support, which is really awesome because, sort of the analogy that I do, that I have for it right now is, we've gotten off the landing craft at Normandy. We've fought our way into France.
Right.
We're not quite at the sprint to Berlin.
Uh-huh.
We're fighting the Battle of the Bulge right now. So I need reinforcements for sure.
Okay.
To help me out so it doesn't stagnate here. We need to keep on pushing through.
Right.
Up to 149 backers, which is great.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. We're definitely getting there.
Right.
So I just want to highlight, I'm going to highlight a different thing each week.
Mm-hmm.
So for $35, you can get the skeleton level, which is a limited edition print by my brother-in-law that has really cool stylized Lovecraft monsters with the Lovecraft logo. And we're only going to do this one printing of it. So it's a super limited edition item. And I do want to say, I got someone messaged me and asked if the backer rewards would be sent out by Christmas because this guy was thinking of getting it as a gift. I fully intend to do everything in my power to get them out by Christmas. So if you're thinking about buying some gifts, do it. And thank you everyone who's supported so far. I've seen a lot of familiar names on the backer report. So that means a lot to me. And spread the word, please, because this is me trying to make my dream come true.
And the cool thing about it, so we're about the halfway point right now of the Kickstarter.
Yes.
You're trying to
just
get
over 30 days.
Right. You're trying to get like just north of 300 backers. So we're kind of on pace at the backer level.
But we
got to keep that pace going. And the cool thing about this is like, if you want to keep the pace going, you do the long division here. You need like 5 or 6 new backers a day. So, I would just challenge the listener. Don't rest on your laurels. Be one of those 5 to 6 backers today that you're listening to the podcast. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Be that good old country boy from Arkansas who just came over as reinforcements.
Exactly. I feel like I used to work for PBS and I used to write the pledge scripts. I feel a little like that right now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you're a natural.
And by the way, guys, if you know, there's only one place you get quality children's programming without any commercials. That's your
PBS. And that's by going to Kickstarter.com and searching Lovecraft.
Lovecraft Brewing Company.
And like me on Facebook, please.
Yeah.
Also, that's the best way to get updates. Go to Facebook, look up Lovecraft Brewing Company.
The Facebook's blowing up, dude.
It is.
Yeah.
No, there's actually the last few days, there's been a lot of steam in the engine.
Cool.
And I'm just trying, I can feel it on the precipice of like consciousness. I just need to tip it into the point where it's a thing. It's not quite a thing yet.
It's
but
almost
I can
a
feel
thing.
It manifesting as a thing.
Right.
And once it becomes a thing, I think that momentum will carry it the rest of the way. So we just need to keep pushing.
Keep pushing it. And that's the thing, it's like it's becoming its own little community now too. I mean, the Lovecraft Brewing Company Kickstarter page almost has as many followers as the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. And we've been doing this for 5 years almost. So that's pretty awesome, dude. So become a part of the community. Of course, you're already a part of the Personal Arrogance Nation. But if you haven't given, like, seriously, if you can only give it the $10 level, give it the $10 level. Be a part of it. So.
And you'll get that signed coaster.
Yeah, dog.
Founders list.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, cool. I just want to also give a quick shout out. We were talking about it. I don't know if everybody knows, but we are now doing a Gotham podcast on the Bald Move Network. Our episode 1 is up right now. So the pilot episode. So check that out. It's a Gotham Blotter. So that's what we're doing. Jesse, you drinking anything tonight?
Seltzer water. And then, I got on deck some free beer from work.
Mm-hmm. I got a $30 gift certificate to the local bottle shop.
Heck yeah.
For my birthday from my sister. And so I went down there. I got a growler fill of a delicious Oktoberfest beer. And then I got a 6-pack of the Ballast Point IPA, which is delicious IPA. And then I had like $4 left, and the guy's like, well, I think you should get this. It's Alpha Centauri Imperial Pale Ale, and it's from Hop Valley in Eugene, Oregon, and it is delicious, so I would recommend this to anyone.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Imperial Pale Ales are kind of a weird style.
It's an Imperial India Pale Ale. Sorry.
Oh.
I don't know if I read that right. All right. Let's get into listener feedback this week. No phone calls, guys. Oh, actually, we got phone calls. I don't know what I'm talking about. This one comes to us from the 706. Here it is.
Oh, chicken go cluck, cluck, cow go moo. Pig and go oink, oink, how about you? I want to taste some brew just like you. Plan A. Back Texas Kickstarter and get a cool t-shirt. Plan B. Black Back Texas Kickstarter and somehow get some brew while living on the other side of the country. It seems problematic, but we'll see. I hope so. Mm-hmm. Lima go, Oscar go, blah. Koala go. Will from Alabama goes, there, get off my back.
Will from Alabama, dude.
That is Aaron as a, that's his alias. There's no way that's someone who's not Aaron Hubbard.
I love Will from Alabama. He's quoting, of course, the great movie Kung Pao Under the Fist. I don't know if you know this, but I went over to Brad Oman's house. We had a viewing party like a week ago.
That's awesome.
Kung Pao Under the Fist. It was so cool. And yeah, I took the bus up there. It was wonderful. So shout out to Brad Oman. Yeah, Doc. So not only that, but he's also wondering if he can get your beer in Alabama. And, you know, step one there is getting the brewery up and running. So
right. Yeah.
There you go. So shout out, dude, Will. That was a wonderful thing. I the first time I listened to that, I was in bed. Cause I tend to listen to these voicemails before I go to sleep. And, you know, they give me happy thoughts. That gave me super happy thoughts.
wow.
Hey, anyway, Jesse. Dun,
yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Michael McBride, as always, just want to say, I about shat myself a little bit ago. I was watching the Cowboys game, of course, and I was like, ah, crap. Because, of course, y'all saw that we were down 21-0 at one point in time. And then all of a sudden, Dallas decided they wanted to have a really good second half. I mean, a really good second half. Hey, I'm happy. We're 2-1. That was 2 weeks in a row. Win. Woot, woot. Watching y'all play Denver. Don't know who I want to win. Kind of want Broncos to win. Kind of want y'all to win.
What?
We'll see what happens. All right, guys. Stay arrogant. Get off my back.
Yeah, speaking of 2-1, man. Broncos are 2-1, Seahawks are 2-1. Did mm-hmm. you watch any of the game?
The Seattle game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
I didn't get a chance because I was flying back.
Yeah, it was a real nail-biter.
Yeah, right when we were landing, right when we landed the, or was it even when we landed, somebody was like, keep a track of it on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And so, immediately people like start screaming / clapping. Which is a little disconcerting on a plane. Like, we're like approaching, in the approach to Seattle, people are screaming and laughing at and clapping at the same time. But yeah, and then I kind of watched it on my phone because overtime happened like right after we landed. But what a nail biter, dude. And I'll tell you, man, I did such a good job, sitting Marshawn Lynch and playing Bobby Rainey instead. That's the fantasy takeaway here. You always start your studs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
All right, and then we got an email here from a new listener, somewhat new listener. His name's Anthony. He says, hi, Eric. Started listening to your show a few months ago after hearing your input on the Fargo podcast. I really enjoyed your takes, and I look forward to your Gotham podcast as well. Long story short, he recently commissioned a podcast on baldmove.com for Aaron to Aaron and Jim to do a Barton Fink podcast. He wanted me to do a little opinion piece, but unfortunately I didn't get that in time, so I'm going to do it on this show, just on Barton Fink. So yeah, basically Barton Fink's one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. It's one of their early movies. It falls into the whole Barton Fink / Miller's Crossing era. and it's about a screenwriter or he's an award-winning playwright who goes out to Los Angeles to start screenwriting and all of the things that happens. The big question here that Anthony had for me is as to whether or not Charlie Meadows is actually some kind of supernatural demonic force. I think he is. I think he falls into the Coen brothers' unstoppable evil force. So just wanted to do that. He also really likes our intro and outro music, wondering who composed it. Jesse, you want to tell the story about how our theme song was composed for new listeners?
Yeah, we were driving back from New York City to Boston,
mm-hmm.
and Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi, who at the time was Rhode Island correspondent Levi,
mm-hmm.
He was our designated driver. The remaining three of us were wasted, and Eric came up with that little ditty,
right?
And was mouth trumpeting it, and I couldn't stop laughing.
It was one of those giddy moments. We were also talking about a brand new game because we had just gone to PAX East, the first PAX East, and we were really the pitcher game idea. The pitcher game idea panel back then, and we had this idea for a game called Mario Trumpet. The only pitch for the Mario Trumpet game was, and then just have like a whole row of people stand up, and then that quickly evolved into. And then I just kept doing it. And then a year later, we started this podcast, and that became the theme song. So that's it. And then our good friend Mark Griffin digitized it and made it the intro. And that's the story of the Personal Arrogance theme song. Now you can go to sleep, little kids. Go home. Go to sleep.
Show's over.
Show's
what
over.
What are you still doing here?
And then finally, speaking of Brad Owen, he sent us an email. He said, just got caught up, got a couple months behind, but I'm now halfway through last week's episode. And I just wanted to say, before it's completely ancient history, the Seattle-based show that you were thinking of, Jesse, is Dead Like Me. Do you know what he's talking about?
Oh, yes.
Dead Like Me?
Yeah.
It's a show about a dead person?
Yeah, it was like this girl who's dead and she's supposed to live in Seattle, but it's very clearly shot in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just pretend that the Toronto Tower is the Space Needle. They, like, don't even address it.
Are you serious?
Totally serious.
That's awesome. It says, Eric, Grey's Anatomy, still love every show set in Seattle? You can be honest with us, buddy. You know me. I'm a big Grey's fan. He says, anyway, I'm glad to see many familiar names on the Kickstarter backer list. Keep spreading the word, as this really needs to happen. I mean, Berthulu should be reason enough to start chanting, so let's all spend a few sanity and help herald this one's way into our world. All right, guys, that's all I got for now. Staring and get off my backup singer. That comes from none other than the legendary Brad Omen.
There you go.
Yeah, and Brad Omen knows bad omens, and bad omens cause ancient ones to rise, so I take his advice on that one.
Should listen to him.
All right. So that's the listener feedback this week. If you want to get on the show, just send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. Jesse, let's get on to the show.
Let us.
All right. So I'm going to lead it off this week with a little bus tale. Bus tale. Ooh, boom, boom, and a kitten on the bus, and it's a bus tale.
Woo!
Da-na-na, it's a crazy person on the bus tale. Woo!
Woo!
So that's a bus tale song. Anybody wants to put that to music? So, Jesse, I've been dying to talk to you about this.
Okay.
Like, I talked to you last night. I couldn't talk to you about it then because I wanted to save it for the podcast.
Right.
And I want to get your reaction about it. So, as you know, I am a bus rider. I ride the bus every day. I ride the bus to work. I ride the bus from work. If I'm going out at night, I try to take the bus when possible. I love the bus. I'm a bus guy. Because we don't have subways here in Seattle. So, I was on the bus on Monday. And I get on the bus. And I look down. And I have a favorite seat on the bus. And it's the seat that, like, you know, I'm on one of those long buses that has a bendy middle.
Mm. I like those are my favorite type of bus.
Yeah, and I'm on this.
I like to stand with one foot on the bendy middle part and one foot on the solid part.
Uh huh.
When it turns, you do a little surfing move.
There you go. I like my favorite seat is the seat immediately after the bendy part because for two reasons. So it's a two-person seat. If you get the seat by the window, there's like this little like wall there, like a mini wall. It's only like 6 inches wide. You can like put your knee up on the wall and kind of recline. And you get a window seat. It's very nice. The other seat, if you get the other seat, you have tons of leg room because it goes into the bendy part.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So it's awesome. So I get on the bus and I'm like, okay. I look down the bus and I see the seats wide open. And this usually doesn't happen on my morning commute. I'm like, lucky day. So I walk down to the bus and I look into this and I'm about to like plop down and I look and on the floor, it looks like jelly. Like strawberry jelly. Somebody dropped a strawberry jelly jar on the floor. And so I quickly like avoid it, and then I kind of plop down in the seat that's not by the window. And then as the bus keeps rolling, I realize that is not jelly. That this is a giant pile of blood.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm sitting right next to it. So I quickly plop, pick my butt up, and I'm able to do a plop into the bendy part seat, and then I plop up into the other part. And for the rest of the bus trip, I see people walk up, get really excited about the seat because it's the best seat on the bus, and then immediately recoil in horror and walk away.
The nose pick guy went too deep.
The nose pick guy, he went way too deep. That's the thing about it, though, is like I tell people this story. I had to tell people at work, and it's just crazy because you don't hear about a giant pile of blood every day. So I'm telling people at work about it, and they all ask me, the first question they ask me is, well, what did you do? And I'm like, I didn't do anything because I'm in bus mode. Like, at that point, you just have to chalk it up to another weird thing on the bus. Like, if you get freaked out about every weird thing on the bus, like, I've seen people, I saw this, this lady who was vomiting in her mouth and then spitting it onto the ground. I've seen Lydia and I were on the bus once, and this guy came on with a python.
Okay.
In his shirt.
That's one of the least weird things in this list.
That's still pretty weird, though, because a lot of people are afraid of snakes, and a lot of people don't want to be in a confined space with, like, an 8-foot python.
Snakes you don't see that you need to worry about.
I guess so. It's like, and he was like letting the snake go around, like, sniff people's heads and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But I feel like I might have gone too far. I feel like I might be too jaded as a bus rider that I did nothing when I saw a giant pile of blood. Because this was not like a pile of blood that was like a bloody nose. This was a pile of blood that, like, this person got stabbed or shot. It was a ton. I've literally never seen this much blood in my life.
Hmm.
It was, like, smeared. It was starting to coagulate.
Oh.
And then finally, like, everybody would just go up to it, recoil in horror, and go about their merry way until these two guys come on the bus who are, like, they're homeless guys. And they were having a blast analyzing this blood. Like, actually, there's one guy.
Were they homeless or were they undercover CSI?
They were undercover. They were CSI guys who were undercovering as homeless guys.
Right.
The first guy gets on the bus and he's kind of out of it. So he just sits in that legroom seat that I was talking about next to the blood. And he's not fazed. He's not moving. He's like, this is a good seat. I'm going to sit here. Then the other guy comes over. He's like going to sit next to him and he goes, oh, dude, that's blood. And then he like talks about how he grew up in East LA and how like he just couldn't stop talking about the blood. He's like, this is definitely blood. He's like doing blood splatter analysis. He's like Dexter. He's like talking about how it's smeared on everything. And then he goes up and tells the bus driver. He's the first person.
Someone has to.
Yeah, he's the first person on the bus to tell the bus driver about this giant biohazard that's on the commuter bus. And then the bus driver's like, yeah, I'll go check it out later.
Yeah, so, the bus driver's like, that was the first guy who interrupted me on my route.
It's just crazy, man. Like, I should have at least taken a picture of it. Like I was thinking, should have taken a picture of it and tweeted it to King County Metro Service. But then, yeah, like,
tweeted it to the police department.
But then now my name's on that thing, and now I gotta, like, deal with all that shit. I'm, like, a witness. Like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, it's a hassle, man. And it's just a giant pile of blood. It was just crazy, man. Like, I have never seen that much blood in my life.
Hmm.
So, that's my bus story for this week.
I have a sort of macabre story that happened to me today.
Go for it.
Death.
Mm-hmm.
I go to work, get into work. I'm milling in, so I'm getting all the grain in the mash tun. I walk over to where we keep our sacks of specialty grain.
Yep.
And there's a rat corpse, like, right in the walkway. Uh-huh. I'm like, I can't ignore this. And then I'm weird. I'm like, this is weird. Why is it just lying right there? And I, like, try and make some motion, like, maybe it's asleep or whatever, because it's 6:30 a.m.
It's the rat sleeping hour.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's nap time for the rat.
Right.
But, and I'm like, it's not stuck in a trap, so I, like, kind of shake some of the plastic that's next to it, and it, like, starts moving a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's very clearly, like, dying.
Oh, it's dying.
Yes, it's dying. Okay. And, because it ate some of the rat poison, and rat poison, like, rats will quickly learn, like, to stay away from bait.
Uh-huh.
Because they associate it with death.
Right.
And I don't know, they teach each other, whatever.
It's so, that, like, hive mind.
Rat poison is, like, slow acting.
Right.
Because they don't want the rats to associate the flavor with, like, poison.
Well, and it also, it's like, from what I understand, rat poison, it's supposed to dry out their body, so they go outside and die instead of dying inside.
Oh, well, it didn't work with this one. So they, like, dehydrates them,
so they leave.
So then I was in the moral conundrum of, like, okay, now I need to do something about this rat.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I need to man up and put it out of its misery. Right? Like, it's dying. Yeah. It's not dead. I need to do the right thing.
Okay.
So I have to, like, go and grab a shovel.
Wow.
And, like, a bag and gloves. I'm like, what am I going to do about this? And then I chickened out. I couldn't kill it with the shovel.
Yeah,
dude, it in the bag.
I would have gotten into bus mode immediately and been like, that's just another weird thing. Just another weird thing.
But when it's your workplace, you kind of have to confront it.
When you're getting paid. Somebody had to clean up the blood.
So, yeah, but I decided not to make... That was also part of my reasoning, was I was like, I don't want to, like, chop this thing's head off and then have to deal with the rat blood, too.
Whoa, who's chopping the rat's dead? What?
Well, like, with the shovel.
You don't chop its head off, you just hit it with the, like, you break its neck.
That could cause even more splatter.
Oh, I don't think so. They're pretty hardy, man. Rat skin is, like, one of the hardiest skins. That's why they make tennis balls out of it.
Oh, well... Mm-hmm. I did make a tennis ball out of it.
A little brown tennis ball.
Yeah.
And before people recoil in horror, I know you've told this to me before, rats love breweries because they...
Yeah.
Because of the grain.
Every brewery has rats. It's just a fact.
It's just the grain. And don't worry, everything else is sanitary except for the rats.
Yeah. It gets boiled.
Yeah.
It has everything to be. Is boiled. So.
If you're drinking beer, it doesn't taste funky. It's 100% sanitary. It has to be, or else it wouldn't taste like that.
Right. It's just one of those things that you don't want to know about.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
interesting. When I'm at my brewery, I'm getting a cat, though.
Oh, yeah. Brewery cat, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know why more breweries don't do it.
Brew cat.
Yeah.
You should name it something, and then you can name a seasonal after it. Maybe it could be a black cat. It could be a fall seasonal.
That's a great idea. I like it.
There you go. Larry the Black Cat.
Harry Larry.
Harry Larry the delicious land log. Anyway.
Yeah.
What's a beer that starts with L?
A lager?
There you go. Harry Larry Lager. Love it. Okay.
Sounds delicious.
So that's Buzz Talk this week. Speaking of appetizing, dude, it's food time. Food time. Woo!
Okay, so I did some cooking yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did some baking.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm pretty good at making hamburgers,
right.
Hamburger patties, I was like, I'm going to try and complete the set and make my own hamburger buns.
Okay.
And not just that, I wanted to bake spent grain hamburger buns.
Okay, so you got to tell me, I don't know what this is. Spent grain is grain that has all the sugar taken out of it?
Yeah, so I used...
Through the brewing process?
Grain that I brewed with at work. I took it home, and then I used a food dehydrator overnight to dry it all out.
Okay.
And then a food processor to try and make flour out of it.
Okay.
Which I did. I made flour.
Okay.
And then I go through the baking, or, you know, making the dough and letting it rise and everything. and then baking it. And the whole process, I mean, not including the overnight dehydration, it takes like 6 hours to make these buns.
Uh-huh.
And then I cook up the hamburger and stuff, and I eat it, and it's just okay.
Well, okay.
I put a lot of work into this, and it turns out, like, yeah, just okay. And I think the conclusion I came to was that when it comes to hamburger buns, you might as well just buy them. It's cheap and it's easy. And it's a lot of work to make hamburger buns.
Well, and I thought kind of the whole point with spent grain is that it has all the sugar out of it, so...
Right, so I
use... It's not sweet anymore. It's just, like, the fiber, basically.
Right, and I use only, like, 25% of the flour with spent grain flour.
Okay.
I use regular flour as well.
Okay, because I was a little concerned when I saw it on
Facebook. And adding sugar and egg yolk. I had to teach myself, and by teach myself, I mean watch a YouTube video about how to separate an egg yolk from the egg white.
Uh-huh.
And I watched this French guy do it, and he made it look super easy, and I screwed it up.
Like 40 times?
No, I only screwed it up once. And then I, like, used the egg white to make an egg wash.
Oh.
Like, put on top of the bun, and then, like, sprinkle the seeds on top. It should have been awesome.
You went 100% gourmet on this shit.
I did. Ah. But it didn't end up, like, very fluffy. It ended up kind of dense.
So it was, it was more of a roll.
Yeah, it was definitely more of a roll. Mm. And it had kind of a weird color.
It was purple. I kind of want
to attempt it one more time.
Mm.
But it kind of threw me off of baking.
You're going to dedicate another 6 hours to this?
Yeah. Plus, I want to make more spent grain flour, though, to work with, because I've been making pizzas.
Okay.
So maybe some spent grain pizza dough.
Is spent grain a thing? So we should tell people, if they don't know what spent grain is, like, when you make a beer, you heat up a bunch of grains, basically, you boil them, and then you get the runoff of that, which is sugar, and then that's like the base for your beer. That's a very simple...
Right. Yeah, you don't boil it, but...
Oh, okay. You make it hot.
Yeah, you put hot water through it, and that creates enzymes, and the enzymes strip the sugars from the starches.
Right, and then the yeast eat the sugars, and they pee out alcohol and fart out CO2.
Right.
And add some hops to it, bing, bang, boom, you got a beer in your mouth.
But you get the grain. The grains have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And so they go to we send them, most of them go to cattle.
Right.
Feed, because there's still nutrients and stuff in there.
Right.
So I just took that and dehydrated it and then used a food processor to make flour.
You found out why they give it to cows.
But no, it is a thing. People do cook with it.
Okay.
You'll see it. Trust me, within the next week, you'll see it somewhere.
Some spent grain.
Spent grain, especially like pizza crust and hamburger buns and bread and stuff like that.
So what's the appeal of spent grain beyond like recycling?
It's sort of a novelty.
Okay.
Especially at, like, a brew pub. Like, hey, we bake with the same grains that we make the beer with.
Hmm. All those brew bakeries.
They use it.
Interesting. I was watching this video today. Do you know who 2 Chainz is?
Yeah.
The rapper?
Mm-hmm.
Norwegian. I don't think I can name a 2 Chainz song. But I'm in the cultural lexicon enough that I know who 2 Chainz is, which means I'm definitely pushing 30 because that's like 40% of the celebrities that I know. It's like I don't know what they do, but I've heard of their names, which means I'm on the slow slope to Dadville.
I'm on the fast track to Dadville.
Yeah, I think you've already hopped on that track.
Express trade.
Yeah. But anyway, I watched this video today. It was with GQ.com. Apparently, 2 Chainz has a show on GQ.com called World's Most Expensivest Things, where he like just goes and finds the most expensivest things and then does that thing, whatever it is. And so today, apparently there's this place in New York City. It owns a Guinness World Record for most expensive hamburger.
Oh, is this one of these stupid things where it's like, it's covered in gold leaf?
It actually is covered in gold leaf.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
And when you eat it, your hands get covered in gold leaf.
That doesn't sound good.
So the gold leaf...
I'd rather eat that black hamburger.
Oh, yeah. The gold leaf is...
The gold leaf is just one aspect of this hamburger. So you have the beef is like Kobe, Japanese Kobe beef. And then it has like this cheese that was aged for like 3 years in a cave. And it has caviar on it, a caviar garnish. It has heirloom tomato ketchup that's custom made for the hamburger. And it also has a toothpick in it that is made out of gold with a diamond on it.
Mm, yeah, see, like, you're not really eating that.
That's true. But you get to poke your mouth with it afterward.
Yeah.
And then the buns, there's something about the buns. They must be spent grain. So
I made them. It took me 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Handmade by this guy in his kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I had to make the beer first, and yeah. Then I serve you the beer.
So this is the thing that I didn't understand about. This thing has gold flake on it. It comes with a gold toothpick diamond. It has caviar, which is $200 an ounce on it. And then all of these other special ingredients that apparently you have to order this hamburger 48 hours in advance because they need to fly in the ingredients. How much do you think this thing cost?
$4,000.
$4,000 for one hamburger?
I don't know.
It's a good.
Yeah, so sticking with it.
All right, good. You did it. I'm going to go ahead and bring this out. Actual retail price, $295.
What? That's it?
That's it. That's the most expensive hot hamburger in the world.
Huh.
It's crazy. I didn't understand that because, like, it has caviar in it that's $200 now. It says gold leaf on it. It has a toothpick that's made out of gold with a diamond on it. I could see maybe the Kobe beef, maybe the cheese. It's probably not that expensive. But then they also apparently give all the profits from this hamburger to a homeless shelter. And I'm like, how much profit is on this burger? It seems to me like you should be selling this for like $500.
Well, maybe you don't get to keep the toothpick.
That's what I was wondering, but how do they regulate that? They're like, sir, you
accidentally swallowed it. Sorry, I hit the toothpick.
Sir, you cannot leave the restaurant until you get back the toothpick.
Yeah. Well, the toothpick is handcuffed to a guy's wrist who stands next to the hamburger while you eat it.
Yeah, I just say if it's a charity burger, which it is, because like I said, they give all of the money to charity. Why don't they make this thing $500? I don't want to tell them how to run their business, but I mean, you said 4,000. I think you read those ingredients,
right? No.
If 2 Chainz,
they're underselling it badly.
My favorite thing about the video, however, is 2 Chainz himself. This guy is a fucking genius.
I don't know anything except for like a couple of his music videos.
Yeah, I would watch a show that stars 2 Chainz. No doubt about it. In fact, I would watch a Marvel comic book movie starring 2 Chainz.
Mm.
Maybe he should be the next Deadpool.
I like that idea a lot.
Yes. 2 Chainz is Deadpool. Because he's like he's like, I just ate this burger, and this wasn't just a burger. This was an experience. I feel changed after eating this burger. Like, that's the power of this burger. It's a $300 burger. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of tempted about this $300 burger. I'm thinking about kickstarting a trip to New York to eat this $300 burger.
Uh-huh. Well, some of the money will end up in charity. So.
That's true. And reward level, you get one of the gold flakes on my hands. Yeah. So anyway, I would encourage people to watch this video. It is highly entertaining. And just watching 2 Chainz eat a burger, I'm not trying to bemoan this guy. Honestly, I found 2 Chainz extremely entertaining on the show, and I want to watch more of these most expensivest thing videos with him. But it looked like he had never eaten a burger before in his entire life. Like, he approached the thing... He approached the thing like it was, I don't know, a spent grain roll or something. It's like he had never eaten a burger before, and watching him bite a burger was honestly the most intriguing part of the video.
Hmm.
It was kind of.
How do you feel about people who eat burgers with forks and knives?
Well, this is the thing about it, dude. I feel like he does that. I feel like 2 Chainz is in, because he's in the most expensive thing videos for a reason. The guy's freaking rich. Because not only is he a rapper, but he's also a producer. So this guy's a mogul, basically. He's on his mogul game. He has not even eaten a burger with his hands in like probably 15 years.
Yeah.
So the first thing he does is he asks the guy, can I get a fork and a knife for this burger?
Oh.
And then the guy's like, I don't have that, even though we're in a kitchen. But it's like a chef's kitchen. It's not like a kitchen. So he has to eat it with his hands. His hands get covered in gold leaf.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, but he also did the Jesse Wilson. He took the toothpick and put it right in his mouth afterward.
Nice.
So, shout out to 2 Chainz. Shout out to $300 Burgers. Shout out to Spent Grain Buns. Food talk.
I hope he's doing some exercise so he doesn't become 2 Chainz.
Great job.
Thank you.
All right, speaking of great jobs, let's move on to a little bit of trivia. I'm going to be rolling a six-sided die. We're doing Genius What a Trivial Pursuit. I got to roll that one more time. And we got a one. It's geography, Jesse.
All right.
All right. Please play along at home. It's trivia time. Jesse, this question for you. How many U.S. states border the Gulf of Mexico?
Let's see. One, two, three, four. Four states.
You're saying four?
Yes.
I'm saying five, baby.
Uh-oh.
Do you forget Texas?
No, I started there.
Texas?
Louisiana.
Mississippi, Alabama, Florida.
Oh, I forgot Alabama.
Hello, five. Eric takes the early lead with the steal.
Oh, no.
You know who knew that? Will in Alabama. Will in Alabama knew that one. This question's for me. What country was formerly called Ceylon? C-E-Y-L-O-N. Ceylon. It doesn't matter because it's a human now. A little Battlestar joke for you.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Ceylon, I'm going to go with Spain.
Ceylon, I think I know the answer, but I forget. I'm going to go with Singapore.
Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is the answer. Jesse, this question is for you. What is the largest Japanese island? I think you know this one.
Why do you think I know that?
I thought that you like know the Japanese islands. Maybe I was thinking of Brad Oman.
Brad definitely would know. Yeah. I'm going to go with Honshu.
Go with Honshu. I'm just going to go with Nippon. Honshu is right, Jesse. Nice job.
Ooh, all right.
All right, it's all tied up.
My dad's in Japan right now.
I know.
Ohayou gozaimasu, father.
Jesse, this question. Have you ever been to Japan?
I have not.
I want to go, man. It's definitely,
I really want to go.
It's like in my top three countries.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be a good list.
I think we've done it before.
Sometimes you got to repeat.
So my top three countries, I don't think you're very excited about them, but they're Sweden, Australia, and Japan that I want to go to. I've never been to.
I'd love to go to Sweden. My top three, Belgium is my number one. Number two would probably be Italy. Number three would be Ireland.
Well, there you go, man.
I could hit all three of them on a long weekend if I was ambitious enough.
Well, yeah, I took a trip to Europe and I went to both Belgium and Italy in it, so.
Cool.
There you go. In fact, I went to Belgium twice.
I went to Australia like eight times.
Get off my back about it. All right, Jesse, this question is for me. I think I'm going to get the win here. What's the nickname of Florida? Nickname of Florida is the Sunshine State.
America's Wang.
Oh, it's America's Wang.
Yes!
No, it's the Sunshine State. That one, it's a little tricky, but I feel like it would have been trickier if they would have said, what is the state nickname of California? Because a lot of people think California is the Sunshine State. California is a golden state, people.
Mm-hmm.
It's golden.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate, Golden State. Speaking of the Sunshine State, I've got a new category, and this category is superheroes. I like how this is all original music tonight. Superheroes. Ooh. wait, I got superheroes and I got science. What do you want to do, Jesse?
Well, let's stick with superheroes.
All right. Marvel's new hero wants to save the world and the citrus industry.
What?
Marvel's latest superhero, Captain Citrus, draws his power from the sun and hails from Florida orange groves.
Oh my god.
And here's his true origin story. He was developed by Marvel for Florida citrus growers who hope the hero will use his powers to help them sell more orange juice.
Did they really need Marvel's help to come up with this one?
They're a bunch of farmers, dude.
I feel like the cavity creeps were more original than this.
The cavity creeps? What are the cavity creeps?
From, like, Colgate.
I do not remember the
campaign. We make holes in teeth.
Wow, I do not remember this campaign.
Yeah.
I think the main thing here is that, you know, you have a bunch of orange farmers, and you have a superhero company. It's like, I don't go to the front of the plane and say, hey, man, I think I'd be flying this thing better than you. Could you go and you let the pilot do his job? So
it's true. They did such a great job. There's never been a superhero who's drawn his strength from the sun before.
That's true, man.
Super original.
Zero superheroes are solar powered.
He should get his strength from, like, citric acid.
From vitamin C, at least.
His enemy.
I think vitamin C, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pop that stuff. Apparently they used to have a Captain Citrus, but he was just an orange with a cape. So they went to Marvel, and Marvel put together this whole
promotion. Oh, I thought you meant Marvel did. Like,
No.
This campaign.
No. No, the citrus industry did. I didn't know this, but apparently the citrus industry is hurting right now. They got hit by a disease that hurt production, and they have declining consumer demand for orange juice, as you know, Jesse. Nobody's drinking orange juice.
Orange juice is popular in my house.
Orange juice is a super popular drink. But anyway, they decided they needed a revamp on Captain Citrus. And the main thing here is that Marvel has gone ahead and put together a comic book featuring Captain Citrus and the Avengers.
Yeah, he's got to be in the next Avengers movie.
I'm serious here. There's a comic book featuring Captain Citrus, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, and Black Widow.
I feel like they're devaluing their own currency here.
I feel like that too. So this is interesting. It says, it may seem a bit commercial. To purists, it may even seem crass to use heroes like Thor and Iron Man to help sell orange juice, but it's hardly new. Marvel Custom Solutions, a special division of the comics company, has been doing it for more than a decade, and long before that, comics were using their characters in advertising. So, Jesse, long story short, I now have a new dream job, Marvel Custom Solutions.
You'd be good at it.
I like
all right,
it.
Let me. I'll name the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You do the superhero.
I'm into it.
Electric chairs.
You mean like the electric chairs?
Yeah.
Captain Zap.
Yeah, for executions.
Captain Zap. Captain Zap. Okay. He's got a bad rap, but he's actually very effective.
Yeah. All right, God. I gave you an easy one. How about logging?
That was the easy one?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I started you off with a softball. What about logging?
George's electric chair company? logging. I mean, it's got to be like a brawny man type of dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm going to go instead of brawny man, brawny Jan. She's a strong woman. She's a lumberjack. Yeah. And she wears flannel shirts. Brawny Jan.
Okay, I started you off with two easy ones.
Okay. The softballs.
How about the construction equipment supplier Caterpillar?
See, you would think, I mean, your brain immediately goes to a giant caterpillar in a suit. Yellow suit.
No, they're trying to differentiate their brand from the actual insect.
Exactly. But you don't want to do it too much. And that's why I feel like you got to have the caterpillar Mothman.
Oh.
He becomes...
He can switch between caterpillar form and moth form?
Yeah, he's like a transformer, kind of, except he's like a giant bulldozer. He goes into a cocoon and emerges as a moth-dozer. And that's his name, the moth-dozer. By the way...
I actually like that one.
The moth-dozer, yeah. He's a flying bulldozer. Wait, I do have something to say about this.
Yeah.
When I was in Colorado, in our condo, there was like this giant moth. Huge moth. This thing is like 3 inches across. Four wings.
The moth-dozer?
Giant and hairy. But the thing is about it is that we saw it. We were a little freaked out by it.
until we realized it was dead. And it died on this ornamental piece of, like, it died on, like, an ornamental pot on the wall. So it was, like, it just was, like, I'm going to die. It was, like, the most beautiful way to die. You die, and then you become a piece of the artwork in the room.
Maybe it was like, how fake potted plants, like, plants, they'll have fake dead leaves on them.
Is that a fake dead moth on it?
Yeah, it was a fake dead moth. Okay, I got one more for you.
Okay.
Last one.
Yep.
Trying to gain back some of the popularity that they experienced in the 70s.
Okay.
Pet Rocks.
Pet Rocks. This one's a tough one.
And you
one.
Can't use Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, shit. So Pet Rocks. This is a little bit... I feel like you gotta have some kind of, like, gem thing going on. You know, like, gem, like, the cartoon. Like, I feel I feel like... I'm trying to think of a word that rhymes with pet that isn't met. I got it. This one, and it actually lines up very nicely now that Marvel is owned by Disney, which also owns Star Wars.
Mm.
And we open Millennium Falcon flying through an asteroid field. All of a sudden, you see Slave One and Boba Fett in hot pursuit. The Millennium Falcon pulls a U-turn around an asteroid and then parks itself. And we zoom into the cockpit of Slave One, and Boba Fett himself zooms in and says, "You'll never be able to escape, Fett Rock." And then immediately on the other side, a giant pet rock with Boba Fett's face on it crashes into the asteroid and destroys the Millennium Falcon. Fett Rock is it's the mascot for Pet Rock.
I think. All right. You got the job. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you. This is a job for Eric, I'm just saying. I just want to go back to the moth real quick, is that moths are easily the only animal that can become part of furniture when they die. I mean, other than trees. But trees aren't animals. So touche, environmentalists.
Except for, like, leather.
Yes.
Cow.
I'm just saying they're one of the only things that can just die. And then, like, become a beautiful piece of artwork wherever they're at. Like, your Uncle Larry's, it's not going to happen with him.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't overlook the cow. You got the leather, and then you also have this, like, the cow skull to hang up in your beautiful Southwest abode.
Style home. I'm just...
your Georgia O'Keeffe painting.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the cow's going to take a while. I'm just saying this thing can die immediately and become artwork. Because it just, like, its insides just dry out, and then it becomes, like, a peppery piece of dust. So that's superhero talk. Mothman.
Mothdozer versus Mothra, Godzilla 2.
I love it. All right, let's get on to the Facebook roundup this week. Each week on Facebook, on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page, we say, "Hey, guys, we're recording tonight. What do you want us to talk about?" You type stuff in there, and then we talk about it. That's the deal. We hold up our end of the bargain as long as you hold up the end of your bargain. And here is the Facebook roundup for this week. Nathan says, "Thoughts on the new True Detective casting announcements." Jesse, you hear about this?
Yeah.
Colin
Farrell?
Yes.
And Vince Vaughn.
But I need to clear this up because... there has been conflicting reports. I read an article on Gawker today that is completely bullshit and wrong. And I want to clear this up for people because I feel like there's a lot of misconception here. Because I've been following this True Detective casting stuff for, like, a while now. Vince Vaughn is not going to be one of the True Detectives. People are thinking, oh, this is going to be exactly like the last show where you had two male leads in detective roles. So Colin Farrell is going to be a detective. Vince Vaughn is going to play a, like, crime kingpin who has Colin Farrell in his pocket. But he's not, like, one of the detectives. Like, I saw a headline today that Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn are your new true detectives. That's not the case. Vince Vaughn is going to be playing, like, a crime kingpin. And then there's going to be two more detectives who are going to be teamed up with Colin Farrell One of them is going to be a woman, and that there's been a lot of rumors around that casting, and that hasn't been announced yet. The other one is leaning toward Taylor Kitsch, who was in John Carter. So I'm just saying it that Vince Vaughn, a lot of people are balking at this Vince Vaughn casting. He's going to be a kingpin secondary character to the actual detectives in the show. So I just want to get that out there. Because there's been a lot of misinformation. So anyway, that's my deal. Jesse?
No comment.
All right, good. Michael McBride says, listening to your Gotham Blotter coverage for the pilot, glad to see that y'all had the same problem with episode Innocent Man. With the episode, in quotation marks, there was an innocent man. Not even remotely. That was the major problem with the first episode of Gotham, is that everybody was talking that Mario Pepper was an innocent man, and no, he was not an innocent man. But if you want to hear more than that, just go to the Gotham Blotter podcast, currently on Bald Move and iTunes. James Patterson says, if you had to choose your execution method, what would you pick and why, Jesse? I was talking to Lydia about this, and she immediately said guillotine.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. I mean, they knew what they were doing with that one.
But the problem is the buildup.
Yeah, there's a lot of suspense.
A lot of buildup, a lot of suspense, a lot of fanfare.
No, I'm changing my answer.
Okay.
Firing squad. I like the firing squad because it's one of the best looks right before you get executed, when you have the blindfold on and the cigarette in your mouth and your hands bound behind your back.
Okay.
I like that look. That's a good look.
That's what I was going for too, but I'm not even doing firing squad. I'm just doing bullet to the head.
Oh yeah, execution style?
Yes. Because it's quick, it's painless, and that's it. You're just done. I feel like there's so many other things. Like, they've obviously even Captain Zapp can't make the electric chair, popular here, because the electric chair is like the worst way to go. It's a brutal way to die. I don't know why they've done it for so long. You basically are in excruciating pain until you die. And,
right.
Yeah.
Saying those extra, few seconds of excruciating pain, at least you're still alive.
Nope, I'm not for it. It's about quality over quantity, brother. So electric chair is terrible. Apparently, there's also been reports that lethal injection has, like, highly painful experience that's associated with it. But
it got all weird because, like, the European Union is not exporting the chemicals to the U.S. anymore.
It's like you can't murder a criminal anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, what's the deal? You can't take human life easily in a state-sanctioned way. What the hell?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. I live in Washington, so.
Yeah, that's true. you have that. You have lethal injection. You have, you could be thrown off a bridge. That's one.
That one I will not take.
Yeah, that one I'm not going to take.
I don't think that's ever been I'm sure it has been, but it's a weird one.
Yeah, throw off the bridge. Well, I mean, walking the plank is very similar.
That's true. It's sort of like a bridge to nowhere.
Bridge to nowhere.
Wouldn't like that one. Wouldn't like hanging.
Yeah, hanging is no good. Yeah, I'm going to go with bullet to the head.
I'm going to go with crucifixion followed up by death by a thousand cuts.
Okay, good.
Both good.
So you really want to keep those last few hours going.
Yeah. I mean, something's better than nothing is my theory.
Yeah, I'm going pit in the pendulum. that's what I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so thanks for that morbid talk. this is like the morbid cast.
Yeah, it's spooky. It's because autumn is coming around. It's true. Winter is coming. It's
turning over into the 10th month, and you know what that means. The spooktacular!
this is an early spooktacular sneak peek.
Absolutely. And then, speaking of spooktacular, someone with a spooktacular name, Rollo Tomasi! Says, if you could choose James's execution, what could it be? So, James Patterson was the one who asked us the execution question. So Rollo's turning it on its head, said if we had to choose James's execution, I think the only way that James Patterson could be executed would be in a 16-team execution bracket that could be narrowed down into the best way to die.
Death by Snoo Snoo needs to be on there, too.
What is Snoo Snoo?
It's from Futurama. It's basically doing it to death.
Oh. Well, there's also, like, gladiatorial mauling, which could be in there.
Right. There's also, like, Cleopatra. She didn't get executed, but yep. She killed herself by, the like, asp. Reaching into a basket full of poisonous snakes.
Yeah, the asp. And then you have Socrates, the hemlock.
Yeah. Actually, we should do, like, a death bracket.
Death bracket. All right, James, get on that.
For our Halloween episode.
Yeah, James, you brought it up, so you got to make it, James Patterson. He also, Rolo says he also put a D&D message out on the PA Facebook wall. It's a little difficult with the new Facebook, getting your message out there to people when you post it on, event or, you know, these kind of types of walls. But we do want to promote this. Rolo wants to put together a D&D group. He's looking for a DM, and he's looking for people to play. So if you are a Personal Arguments listener, you want to get into, a little bit of D&D. I'm sure that he would be fine doing this over Skype or over Google Hangout. So look for Rolo. You can find him right here on the Personal Arguments Facebook page in this Facebook roundup. So find him there. He wants to play D&D, so do it.
Do it.
Joe says, now that there are multiple comic book shows out, which is your favorite and why is it Arrow? Fortunately, Joe, I do not watch Arrow or The Flash. And I tried to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I could not do it.
I saw an ad for a second season of that, and I was like, wow, really? Well,
Not only is there a second season, but there's also a spinoff coming out in January.
Oh, goody.
Agents
Superheroes are the new zombies.
I love it. But yeah, I mean, we are watching Gotham. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a podcast called Gotham Blotter that we're on. So
mm-hmm. Check find that out why it's my favorite thing on TV.
And then finally, Joe says, fall beer style, Oktoberfest versus pumpkin. What makes a beer October-ish? I'm obviously in the Oktoberfest camp on this one, Jesse. Which camp are you in?
Oktoberfest. I mean, it's a classic style. Pumpkin is sort of a novelty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'll take Oktoberfest. I love lagers. I love malty lagers.
Right, then that's like the thing.
Dark lagers, so yeah, no, it's great. I love Oktoberfest beers.
And for me, that's what makes a beer Oktober-y is if it is a dark German style lager.
Yeah,
so good.
I mean, a nice spiced ale too. Really, it comes through for me.
Yeah,
in the autumnal bracket.
Well, when I think of a quintessential Oktoberfest beer, it's a beer that's a dark lager, high in alcohol, and delicious. It's like you know, a good Spaten-Optimator.
VMOs, baby.
Give me a Spaten-Optimator, please.
The Optimator from Spaten.
Oh, yeah, the Optimator. Oh, give me the Optimator from Spaten. So that's what I like.
We haven't heard from Dennis Kleinbeck in a while.
We have not heard from Dennis Kleinbeck. He needs to give us an Oktoberfest voicemail.
Yeah, totally.
Decline.
He better be wearing lederhosen as he does it.
Better be. All right, well, we're going to get to recommendations, but before we do that, I want to tell you about the Ball Boom Network, guys. Ballboom.com, check it out. Full of TV and pop culture podcasts. You're officially an official source for shows like Boardwalk Empire, the Up Yours Downstairs covering Downton Abbey and everything Edwardian. We got Breaking Bad Season 1 is now up there. And of course, guys, the Because Show and the Bald Move TV podcast, but you gotta love Gotham Blotter. It's a new show. It features me, Jesse, and Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi walking you through every episode of Gotham on Fox. So please check that out. And please get in touch with us, guys. You could send us an email, personalarguments@gmail.com. Give us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. Follow us on Facebook. We are on the Bald Move Facebook page, and we are on the Personal Arguments Facebook page. We're on Twitter at Personal Podcast. And please rate and review us on iTunes. We've actually gotten a couple good rates and reviews. I want to bring them up in next week's show because there's a couple good ones in there.
Sweet.
One of them calling out deviated septums.
Mm.
But in a good way.
More like devious septums.
Also want to call out the annual Bald Move TV Halloween costume idea. Link is up on baldmove.com as well. So if you're looking for a Halloween costume idea featuring shows like Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, or Game of Thrones, you can find that on baldmove.com. Once again, just want to touch on the Kickstarter, guys. Lovecraft Brewing Company. You've heard about it in the Kitsap Sun. You've heard about it on
My Brother and Me podcast. You've heard about it on Personal Arrogance podcast. Please find Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter and join the community, Lovecraft Brewing Company, on Facebook. I think that's it. Is that it? All right, let's reco, baby. What's your first reco?
Grow your beards out, boys. It's beard season. Mine's getting there. I'm proud of where my beard's at right now.
So I'm in such a transitional phase, dude. Like, yeah. I'm 29 years old, recently 29. And I'm
looking... like your version of recently single.
Exactly. Recently 29. So I'm not on the downslope of 29. I'm on the upslope of 29. But I've looked at my beard now, and I've always wanted to grow a beard. I've always wanted to grow a beard. The problem is my beard does not cooperate with my ambition.
Uh-huh.
I have a goatee area for whisker.
Right.
I don't have a goatee. I'm talking about where the whiskers cover my face.
Where it comes in, where it wants to be.
Yeah, I have a goatee, a solid goatee, if I wanted to grow that. But unfortunately, it's not mid-90s, and I'm not Ben Affleck.
Are you Chandler from Friends?
I might be Chandler from Friends.
Ooh.
I ruined the joke. Rachel and Ross. I'm at least Ross.
The offensive coordinator for the New York Giants has like a really bad goatee going right now. And it's just like, I don't understand why anyone would grow a goatee right now. It's not goatee year.
It hasn't been a goatee year. I mean, I grew out my facial hair quite a bit, like in late summer. And then I did the shave down where you try different.
That's fun.
Try different facial hair. And
I always screw it up though, because I just start shaving and then I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah. So the weird thing about this is that I felt like the best one, the one that looked best on me, was the American Chopper handlebar mustache.
Well, that looks good on anyone.
Which is, it's a handlebar mustache, but it goes all the way down your neck. You let the two little strands go all the way down your neck.
That's a great look.
It's a great look.
I definitely recommend that look.
But yeah, so but I also, so what I'm saying is that my cheeks, so I have like the goatee, I have sideburns, and really mutton chops, and then I have my whole chin line, and then my neck are covered in hair, but I have this like spot on my cheeks that are not filling in, and like you said, I'm recently 29, I looked in the mirror today, it's starting to grow, it's starting to come in.
Oh, yes, you gotta let it go.
I'm thinking beard by 31.
Let it grow.
Let it grow. Let it grow. I was a little discouraged because I read a Reddit post this week where this guy was like, after 4 months of ridicule and growing out my beard, it finally is filling in. And I'm like, I can't do it for 4 months.
You got it, though. You just got to bite that bullet.
I want a beard so bad.
That's what I'm saying, man. Just go for it. Just go for it. For the next 6 months, just let it grow.
Let it grow.
And you can obviously still groom it.
Okay, but then I need to buy a trimmer. I think that's what I need to do is buy a trimmer.
You don't have to. You can just use scissors. You just got to get the long ones.
I feel like I am at a point where I don't like shaving because I don't like my clean-shaven face. I like to have whiskers.
Uh-huh.
I like a week.
I haven't shaved in a long time.
I like a week of whiskers. I feel like that's when Eric's looking his sexiest. It's like a week of whiskers. And so I kind of want to just get a beard trimmer so that I can keep it at like, you know, quarter inch.
Well, I use the wall clippers I got off of Amazon for like $15. They work awesome. And they come with all the different guards. And you can cut your own hair with it.
I do kind of like this idea. And I've always been intrigued by wall because it's W-A-H-L, which is the beginning of my
last name. Yeah, it's like your namesake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a whirl. I'll give it a whirl.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of which, I for my first recommendation this week, I want to talk about a movie. It's called Draft Day, and it stars...
Is it good?
I liked it.
Okay.
One of the things I liked the most about it is that it's totally bought in with the NFL, and the Seahawks factor heavily in it.
Yeah, the Seahawks are the bad guys, right?
Well, yeah, they're basically the goofballs.
There's a big difference between goons and goofballs.
They're the laughingstocks of the league.
Oh, well, laugh all the way to the Super Bowl, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. Well, the hilarious thing about it is the movie came out this summer, and the premise of the movie is that the Seahawks have the number one overall draft pick. The year that the Seahawks have the last overall draft pick.
Well,
so,
you know, historically.
Yeah.
Well, oh. Anyway.
I thought you were just trying to make a point. Historically, yes, the Seahawks have been bad. Although, the last decade, they've been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, two Super Bowls in 10 years isn't too bad. Two Super Bowl appearances.
Right.
And
can't
one
win them all.
One should have been victory over the Steel Crew. Jesse Sekereko.
Oh, geez. Put me on the spot because I forgot what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let me just say Kickstarter.com, search Lovecraft, please. This means the world to me. Right now is a really weird time in my life because it's like, is this thing going to happen or am I going to have to change all my plans and aspirations? So, help me my dream come true.
Please. Let the dream come true. In fact, there's not really much of the podcast left, guys. You could stop it here and just go to the freaking Kickstarter and kickstart it.
Bam.
but then you won't hear my Sekereko, which is Gotham Blotter Podcast, guys. Check it out on baldmove.com. Gotta pimp it. And you get to hear a lot of Levi. Levi got a brand new microphone. He sounds very good.
He sounds great.
Although
snap, I just went to 150 backers.
Nice. Somebody is subliminally backing you right now.
Yeah, I got a mind meld going on with Heartwood.
I would say that don't judge Levi, though, by his intro this week, because on the Gotham Blotter podcast, we do the quintessential bald move intro, which is, hello and welcome to the Gotham Blotter podcast, your officially unofficial podcast for Gotham on Fox. I'm Eric.
I'm Jesse.
And he goes, I'm Levi.
He's like Toby from The Office. I've been watching The Office like 10 years too late.
Dude, The Office is good.
It's very easy to binge.
It's super easy to binge. That press play button basically presses itself.
It actually literally does.
It literally does if you're watching on Netflix or Hulu. Yeah. All right, dude, we gave you enough to listen about. We gave you enough to watch about. And we gave you enough to kickstart about. So why don't you go out and do some stuff? That's my charge to you, the listener. And come back next week for a rip-roaring adventure on the Personal Arrogance Podcast. Jesse, thanks so much for joining me. And until next week, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.